For almost 40 years, DR Power Equipment has been the go-to for homeowners who want professional-level outdoor power equipment. Whether you're managing acres of overgrown fields or just want to have the best lawn on the block, DR Power has everything you need to conquer your piece of the outdoors. Visit drpower.com today to learn more and shop the sale.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
And it is the Pat Kenny Show with Anton in for Pat. The issues around accommodation for Ukrainian refugees and international protection applicants once again hit the headlines this week, with new rules coming into effect. An audit on bed availability revealed an increased calls to help those living in Tent City on the streets of Dublin. Joining me now to discuss this and the other news of the week is Nasa Hourigan, who is Green Party TD for Dublin Central, John Drennan, political reporter with the Daily Mail Group, and Senator Gerard Crockwell, independent senator. Let's kick off with the thing that I was talking to Shane Beattie about this weekend, or the event this weekend, which is the Taoiseach's visit to the US. John, there is pressure on him to give a lecture to Joe Biden around Palestine and Israel. Would he be wise to so do?
Well, people who give lectures to Joe Biden, he tends to get deaf very quickly to those lectures. I mean, Joe Biden is in a very difficult internal political position in America. He faces serious trouble and strife over the Ukrainian war because of the positioning being taken by the Republicans. There is always and has always been a tendency for a culture of isolationism in America, that, you know, let the Europeans do their fighting and all the rest of it, and their experiences and all the rest of it. So I'm not sure this is he has a very difficult diplomatic space to be in, because the problem is there are a lot of calls for Israel to be treated as a pariah and to be treated as a rogue state. But the problem, if you engage in that sort of strategic diplomacy, and the government have made it clear, is that if you turn a state into a rogue state, then they behave even more like a rogue state than before. The difficulty.
Although in the case of Israel, they are somewhat dependent on American support militarily and in otherwise to behave in any way.
Yes, and here's the thing, that the challenge for Joe Biden and America, rather like Europe and Putin, is to try and walk Netanyahu, who appears to be an utterly immoral politician, to try and walk him out of Gaza. And I'm sure that there are serious travails with that. And I'm not sure a lecture from a small little country at the edge of Europe is going to be appreciated.
Gerard Crockwell, does the Taoiseach similarly have an interesting political challenge? Because he has to have been seen not to be cowardly at this meeting and to have raised what are very widely held concerns in Ireland. But at the same time, you don't want to burn what is a very significant bridge with the US president.
100%. I agree with everything John has said there in the last few minutes. The key here is some of the people who are screaming for the Taoiseach to have strong words on Gaza, etc., are the very people who scream about Gaza in this country, but when they go to the United States, not a word on Gaza is to be heard. So I think reading the reports that have come back, I think Varadkar has gone as far as he can. I agree with John, you don't do something that's going to result in the door being shut. The soft diplomacy that takes place in the United States around this time every year is to be cherished and to be guarded. So I don't see any role for our Taoiseach giving lectures to anybody.
What do you think, NASA? Should he be raising it in fairly strident terms?
I think he should be more than raising it. Maybe lecture isn't the right word, but I think that he should be making the strongest possible case for a country that is effectively bankrolling a genocide to cease and desist from doing that. They are culpable in this. And I think that one of the things that we don't necessarily think about enough is that the Irish-American vote matters, right? And it is an election year. And I think John is exactly right, that Biden is under huge pressure. And that gives us and affords us a bit of leeway here. That gives us a bit of power here. And I think...
Do you think Leo Varadkar can sway the Irish vote?
I think that it will look very, very bad for Biden if the press around this visit is negative. I think it's an election year. I think he desperately needs the Irish-American vote. And I think that the Irish people genuinely, and in a very real way, they go out in the streets, they really care about Gaza. And you can say it's the other side of the world, but we do, for whatever reason, really care. There are children being starved to death. I think the Taoiseach should go and make, in the strongest possible terms, a case for America changing its stance. And the reason I think he should do that this time is because, A, I don't buy that they would do away with the Irish-American vote so easily. They won't. And B, because I think our America is actually on a precipice. If you look at what the vice president has been saying, they're about to change policy, I think. They are going to take stronger measures. And
John
if
Drennan,
we can push them over the edge, fantastic.
Give us the risk-reward analysis on that.
Well, perhaps somewhat optimistic to think that Leo can sway the Irish-American vote. He seems to have a lot of difficulties swaying the Irish-Irish vote. Look, as I say, there are no clean hands in this war and there are no clean solutions. The strength of the Jewish lobby in America is very powerful and they are perfectly entitled to sort of exercise that particular strength. But Joe Biden is in a fight to be re-elected. I'm not sure, as I said before, whether he's in a position to be enthused by lectures from Leo Varadkar. But I mean, I do stress, I mean, there are enormous tragedies now occurring in Israel. Israel was supposed to be the hope of the Middle East, that you could in some way create a reasonably progressive democratic state. And there has to be a real fear. If, for example, the Americans were to pull out, well, what happens from there? What would Iran do with a defenceless Israel? What would Syria do with a defenceless Israel? I don't envy any of them in trying to resolve the blood and the sand of the Middle East. And, you know, the history tells us where, no matter be it Iraq, be it Afghanistan, countries who go into the blood and sand of that place do not emerge unscathed, no matter how well-meaning they are.
Can I go back, Nasser, to you? If you are in the business of asking Leo Varadkar to make potentially Pyrrhic statements in or actions in relation to US politics, should Catherine Martin have done the same at South by Southwest? Should she have pulled out?
Well, I'm not sure what the purpose of attendance is if no Irish acts are going. So to me, well, personally, I'm always looking for an excuse not to go to music festivals these days. I'm too old, but I just don't.
This was a festival supported by the US Army, at which your party colleague was paying to be in attendance.
Yeah, well, I suppose the point of going was to support Irish acts because there was quite a number of Irish acts involved in it. And at the time, you know, if you're faced with an event at the time that you're in the area that has a lot of Irish acts, okay, it might
so
make
So she should have pulled
sense.
Out.
I think she should have pulled out, yeah.
Did you raise that with her?
I haven't raised that with her. She's not here.
And Nessa's not in the party anyway. She's in the pedigree, I think. Are you still? You still have they invited you back
member.
Yet?
I am still a very proud group member.
Just not a parliamentary
phones
party
phones still
member.
Work hugely effectively if you want to get hold of somebody in the States. Let us move to the other issue, which is that of the tent city that we saw A&R Reardon going to some lengths to post videos of the tents containing international protection seekers. And of course, the issue with the beds that have been discovered, not discovered, but the audit of beds that have revealed that there are 500 beds available for international protection seekers that were originally sidelined or set aside for Ukrainian refugees. They won't go a long way, Jared Crockwell, to solving the problem that we have. It's a reduction, I think, in more than 4,000 total beds available. We're a long way from solving our migrant crisis.
Absolutely. I might be slightly left of field in what I'm about to say, but my belief is that we knew 3 years before the Ukrainian war that this was coming. Europe needed to prepare. One of the least prepared countries was Ireland. Why? We don't have an intelligence service, so we didn't have the intelligence feeding through in order to prepare. And what we have done is we've just approached the thing in a ham-fisted way. We really don't know who we've let into the state. We don't know the bona fides of anybody we've let into the state. The Ukrainian thing has become mixed up with people seeking international protection. And the bottom line on that is, again, we don't have a proper system in place. So I think, I don't know how we're going to stop it, but the Ukrainian thing, we've got to continue to look after international protection.
Now, when you say stop it, do you mean stop people coming in?
Well, where are we going to put them? You can't have people coming in to sleep on the streets. I take grave offence from politicians walking around with their cameras making videos when they themselves were in power and were cut social services, cut all of the services in this country. And now they go around holier than thou, holding up cameras, blaming other ministers. This is a historical thing that has been allowed to develop, as I say.
So as you see it, it isn't that we have a moral obligation to assist our European colleagues in taking in refugees. It is that we have to build effectively a higher and stronger wall against them.
No, I think what we've got to do is we've got to, first and foremost, Ukraine is a separate issue from my perspective because the war is on there. when we're looking at international protection people, I think we've got to be honest. And I've said this all along. There are many of people coming into this country under the guise of international protection who are in fact economic migrants. We should know. We've been economic migrants. We claim 70 million people worldwide. We know what economic migration is about. We're never going to solve that by just allowing people into any country in Europe. We've got to solve it back in their home countries.
Do you also accept that in that cohort there are people who are escaping subjugation, starvation, war?
Yes, I do, totally. 100%. But one question that has to be asked, and I'll be accused of being right-wing, I couldn't care less, why is it all young men? Are young women not suffering in these countries? Are mothers with children not suffering in these countries? At the end of the day, people will tell you, people who are working on the front line with international asylum seekers will tell you they have been advised to come to Ireland.
Is there not a possibility that if you look at who is most likely to take a very high risk, arduous journey to try to find safety, that you would find the risk taking behaviours among the young men? When we looked at the people who went to got on coffin ships, or when we looked at the people who went across to Liverpool or Manchester to find work in the 50s, it was predominantly young men.
Listen, I went to Sicily. I looked at the Mediterranean situation. I met people who were fished out of the water in the Mediterranean. I cannot, for the life of me, understand the pain and suffering these people went through to get to Europe. I've met people out there, and we were invited out. Members of the Oireachtas were invited out by the Italian government to meet these refugees. I met them. I met girls out there who had been trafficked into Tripoli, had been sold in Tripoli into sex slavery, were then shipped across the Mediterranean, and while they were in Sicily, outside the gates was their uncle waiting for them, I assume another pimp, right? So maybe that's why girls aren't coming through as much. I've always maintained, if we want to do this right, we need to open reception centres in North Africa, we need to do the vetting in North Africa and bring the people through. The minister some years ago told me, no person gets into this country without being vetted. Nonsense.
DR Power Equipment is the industry leader in field and brush mowers. Their full line of machines are designed to clear acres of tough weeds, woody brush, and saplings up to 3 inches thick, hour after hour, year after year. Just one mow, and you'll agree nothing stops at DR. Visit drpower.com to learn more and shop the sale today.
How much of the problem is that, Nessa, the capacity to actually vet and delineate between people who are legitimate protection seekers, who are economic immigrants, and who are bogus, and how much of it is about our actual capacity to take and care for the people who are arriving in?
I think capacity is the first issue. I have to say I completely reject that, even that term of vetting people. I mean, you come here, you make an application for asylum, and that application in itself looks at, you know, where you are coming from, who you are, have you any past that we need to know about. That is the process that we have. I know that the departments themselves have been trying to do work on speeding up that process, which actually I think is fair to everybody. But this idea that you kind of somehow at the border can vet people like overnight, that's ridiculous. You can't do that. Often people are coming from war-torn areas where documents are just not there. They're not in place. So the idea that you can do that at will,
although
is
people
ridiculous.
Will say that those who might have documents have a capacity to lose them on arrival if they're the wrong kinds of documents.
Well, I think people who maybe haven't thought about what the process of moving from a country that is war-torn or that you're escaping and coming to a new country whereby you have to rely on what we would sometimes describe as traffickers, who will then remove the documents from you. So they will give you documents to get through a certain point and then they will take them away for the next person. And that's the reality of how people are travelling. I do think capacity is an issue, and I do think that we have to get to a place where we can have that conversation really properly. I mean, I'm a representative for Dublin Central. I am appalled that I have to come on a radio station and talk about rough sleeping once you get here and things like scabies outbreaks. That's appalling. There's no excuse for that. I am disgraced. That is disgrace to us all. I do think we're reaching
a point.
And
who's culpable?
Well, I think the resource and capacity issue is part of it, but ultimately the departments and the ministers are culpable for not getting it right in the time post-COVID when we had the chance to get it right. I do think we're very quickly, particularly in my constituency, reaching a point where we have to start talking about emergency accommodation in a wider, broader sense, because My constituency, Dublin 1, already has a huge proportion of emergency accommodation for homeless people. And now on top of that, we have thousands and thousands of people in IPASS. And it's the same services and it's the same areas being put under pressure. And the more we privatise systems and the more the department goes down that route, the less control we have and the more chaotic it's going to become.
And of course, John, this is all happening at a time where we're seeing a reduction in available beds because a lot of the hoteliers who may have been contracted to the state are decided, no, I'm going to go back to being a hotel or I don't want the cohort that I'm being offered.
Yeah, and it's put bluntly, it's Roderick again, isn't it? Like he's the fellow who's ultimately in charge of it, and you just have to look and wonder how many shambles do we have to go through where the net result is poor Roderick is he's under resourced and whatever it is. Now, I mean, this government knew that there was, even prior to the Ukraine, there was a rising issue of arriving immigrants, and they didn't know. To be fair to Roderick O'Gorman, he's well intentioned and he's done his best. But you look at the current situation in Dublin. It is a national travesty. It is a shame upon us that we now have tent cities. This is something that is supposed to happen in cities in America or cities such as that. And it is an utter and complete failure of governance. And there will be human tragedies out of this. I have no doubt whatsoever. Something bad will happen if we continue to deal with this in this way. And to a certain extent, I'm almost minded. It is sort of, I think Jim O'Callaghan for Fianna Fáil was correct to call it out. I'm minded of somebody like Michael Fitzmaurice and Common Sense Politics, that really what I think this requires is for somebody to say, we'll put someone in charge here, not an interministerial group, because if there's one thing, if you don't want something done, then you set up an interministerial task force with a brief to report urgently. You can be sure nothing will be done then. But that some form of czar is brought in, break a few rules, maybe break a lot of rules, clear a bit of land, sort out the Bagot Street Hospital, say that's going in, sort out office blocks, put up porta cabins, whatever is needed to end a situation where people are living on the streets in tents and do not even have latrine facilities.
Where's the politics in this, John? Are the votes in solving the problem and providing accommodation, or are the votes in reducing the numbers that are arriving in?
I'm not sure there's too many votes in this anywhere, but sometimes politics and sometimes politics, media, whatever. Sometimes you got to look at more than votes and ratings. You're in power to do good. Sometimes Mike Tyson's famous line, of course, you know, I mean, every strategy survives until you get a punch in the face. But sometimes, you know, you find unexpected and new crises. Your job is to deal with it. It hasn't been dealt with it. And if you look at this government, I mean, this was signalled to the government a long way back, maybe 1 year ago, 2 years ago. I remember Carol Nolan, she stood up on the floor of the Dáil and she warned Dara O'Brien that you know, there were troubles coming. And they were inevitably coming because immigration had moved from a feel-good issue to a competition for resources. And the response of the government was to sort of paint, literally say that Carol Nolan was on a horse of the Ku Klux Klan wearing a sheet. And it was personal. It was an anonymous attack because they had no solutions. And here we are today.
You talked about politics being more than numbers and polls. Let us wrap up by going back to numbers and polls a little, because last weekend was the referendum results. There has been interesting fallout for a number of specific politicians out of that referendum, given that they campaigned in one direction and voted in the other. But can I ask all of you your take on the polls? Because I'm slightly struggling to come to terms with 66% yes, turning 2 weeks later to 70% no. Either the Irish people are the most vacillating and indecisive electorate that the world has ever known, or those polls weren't worth the paper they were printed on. Which is it?
I can tell you that the week the referendum was called, Michael McDowell predicted a 60-40 in favour of a no vote.
He did. He said it'd be the Senate all over again.
A week before the March 8th, I was walking past the office and I had been involved on the social media side, called into Michael. He said, I've changed the statistics. I said, are we getting closer to a yes? He said, no, it's gone 70-40 or 70-30. And how right he was. I have no idea. polling has got it wrong twice. The Senate polled the abolition of the Senate. And I know
is it the polls that get it wrong? Do people lie to pollsters, or did we all just change our mind in a fortnight?
No, I don't. I think the polls got it wrong. I think at the end of the day, the people of Ireland are extremely grateful that we have a Senate to keep things on the straight and narrow.
No, I think it's really hard to poll referendums. I think we've learned that it's a very difficult thing to do. Well, maybe people lie, or maybe we just don't get a sufficient sample size for what is a binary discussion. And
I think people like to be polite as well too. And when the pollster comes along, they want to give the right, what they perceive to be the correct answer.
But this wasn't a deeply moral. I mean, this wasn't like same-sex marriage, where you could say, well, there is clearly a liberal or conservative divide down the middle. This was sufficiently nuanced that I wouldn't have thought you'd be humiliated telling the pollster you were going to go no.
I think so many people were confused, though. It was a confusing referendum, and I think in that case, people cleave to the status quo.
There was a lot of very vocal NGO groups out with their their bishops' mitres, and how different. I mean, I'm elderly enough to have lived at the time when the bishops were in charge of the country, and that wasn't too pleasant. But what's in charge of the country now is very similar to the bishops.
Bishops were first out the trap with their advice.
Bishops are back, baby. Bishops are back, baby. It's back to Sunday Mass.
Just speaking on the NGOs, I mean, one of the things that will have to be investigated when the dust settles.
Absolutely.
And that is the misuse of state funds through NGOs in order to push for a particular side in a referendum. Really, the McKenna judgment was kicked out the door.
But hang on a second that because you don't like this referendum? Because other referendums have happened, and NGOs, quite rightly, because they are independent bodies and they receive funding and they have a policy wing, most NGOs.
If you're 97% funded.
They advocate for what they believe their cohort wants.
I'm in total.
This has happened in previous referendums, but all of a sudden now we want an investigation when you don't like the referendum.
I'm in total agreement with Nessa. What our independent NGOs do is they receive the state funding and then they hire whoever they have to hire. And they campaign independently of that. I think it's what posh businesses call, or lawyers call, Chinese walls.
I think when you're 97% funded by the state, you can hardly declare yourself to be independent in anything.
Well, actually, I think part of the problem here is that the state didn't do more work in terms... Now, listen, I think the question itself and the wording was problematic in terms of whether people could be...
You were told that during the debate.
I was on the committee and we wanted a different wording. I do think that there was a lack of intervention from the state in terms of providing information.
The state were like a shower of dodgy builders throwing a bit of pebble dashing on a crooked wall and booting it down the road having been paid in cash. That's what the state campaign was.
On that note, John Drennan, political reporter with the Daily Mail Group, Senator Gerard Crockwell, independent senator, and Nessa Harrigan, Green Party TD for Dublin Central. Thank you all very much. Before I let you go, plans for Patrick's Day. Will you be standing in what... It has to be raining because it's just the law for Patrick's Day. Will you be standing there to watch a parade?
No. My children hate parades.
John?
I shall take to the bed.
I'll be in Dunamalisa, Renmore Barracks in Galway at 8 o'clock in the morning, and I'll be in Stepaside at 1 o'clock in the afternoon.
For parade purposes, or is this separate to Patrick's Day?
To celebrate St. Patrick's Day with on Caid Ca, and to celebrate St. Patrick's Day with my granddaughters in two different venues. If there's a spare helicopter around, I'd love the use of it.
Well, thank you for giving us that note of positivity to wrap up on. As I say, Nessa Harrigan from the Green Party, John Drennan, political reporter at Daily Mail, and Senator Gerard Crockwell.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.
For almost 40 years, DR Power Equipment has been the go-to for homeowners who want professional-level outdoor power equipment. Whether you're managing acres of overgrown fields or just want to have the best lawn on the block, DR Power has everything you need to conquer your piece of the outdoors. Visit drpower.com today to learn more and shop the sale.